I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Lurpa duper, lurpa, looba looba lap, dooba looba loop.
Yes, watch, Judas. I can most certainly inform the people.
Dooba, flooba, dooba looba, dooba, floop, looba looba loop, bop.
Yes, they will be most pleased indeed.
Labadee bop, poop.
Oh, I agree, Your Grace, that playing Rolling in the Geek should satiate the masses. You are most wise, Your Grace.
Hello, I'm Ken Brown, and as the Game Master for Riven, the Shattered Continent, I welcome you to our table. Team, please introduce yourselves.
Who do you? Hello there. My name is Harkos Passaro. I'm an Alakokra monk from the Sanctuary of Oak Aido. I am the Ringer of Alarm Bells and the Protector of Young Cassie, and I'm portrayed by Nick Simpson.
And I am Trevor Ironjaw, Forge Cleric, infused with the power of a being of flame to become an instrument of justice for the people. Portrayed by Brad Conow.
Thank you, gentlemen, and thank you for joining us. Welcome back to Riven, and get ready for Rolling in the Geek.
Hey, it's Ken, your Game Master here, and on behalf of the Rick Geek family, we beseech thee, if we are pleasing to thine ear holes, please check out Rolling in the Geek on Patreon, and please rate or review us on Apple Podcasts or whichever listening platform you favor. It helps get more people at our table, and we can never have too many cooks in our kitchen. Now, back to three guys screaming at numbered shapes for not helping them enough. Last time on Rolling in the Geek, our heroes do some follow-up with the friends that they've made along the way in their journey. They finish their conversation with Phil, first of all, especially about him going with, and then let him go rest so that he can be ready for the next morning. They head to meet with Jorik and Melia to let them know that they made their decision and find out that the caravan is heading out the next day in order to get to the train to Aramor. They make a comment about the Dragon Rock being destroyed by their blacksmith friend, Faden, and that he has taken an interest in its properties. Trevor meets with him to make sure that all of the Dragon Rock is destroyed and that he isn't keeping any, even though his interest was piqued because of Trevor's work with it. At the same time, Harkos meets with Glenn and Esma, but is unable to find Cassie. They meet back up and talk to Nigel and Nundle, where they find that the latter is taking up a position with the city guard, but Layton has left during the previous night after getting some sort of message. They do some shopping, and afterward, Trevor helps the blacksmith catch up on some work, and Harkos works on his Egmore and gets a couple more pieces to stick together. And that is where we pick back up. So it is getting towards evening time. As I told you at the end of the last episode, my phone just went off. At the end of the last episode,
Faden, the blacksmith, I kind of sent you on your way because he was getting all closed up for the night. Harkos, you worked on your egg, got a few more pieces put back together, and about now it's well past dinner time and getting towards late evening. So what do you want to do?
The first thing I want to do, because we talked about this in the post episode last time, so for all the people who haven't heard that, go ahead and check it out on Patreon, number one. Number two, Brad, we seem to have sorely forgotten the reliquary that we're carrying. Not that we have time to deal with it, but I want the audience to know that we forgot and we remembered we forgot, and I don't want to forget again. Number two, we also forgot about the elf man that we brought out of the mines.
Oh shit! Yeah, we did.
You've been to the apothecaries a few times, and he's still there being treated.
Completely ignored him.
Yep, you completely ignored him. He's still there being treated. He's kind of on the same track as Glenn. And there's the dwarf that was found in Jorik's pathway.
The dwarf though. I'm a little less worried about, because it was just the way he was described was probably someone that got brought down there with us. Like the way Jorik responded and everything, like that's just a recruit. Well, and not even that, like Brad asked if he looked familiar and we had seen him in training. Like we never met him, but we know, like he vaguely, we were like, oh yeah, that's old so-and-so who does the thing with the axe. I think his name was like Bimri or something. I don't know. It's a play on Gimli. Anyway,
I get you. I got you. I just did not pick up what you put down because I did not want to.
It's okay. The elf, on the other hand, was a total stranger from my recollection. And we had exactly none information on him, and we didn't have Jorik with us when we picked him up. So I just wanted to call those two things to attention, because we have not necessarily the time or the know-how to deal with those now. But I want Brad to remember, and I want the audience to know that we know we fucked up.
It's getting a little late in the day to try to talk to anybody about it anyway.
Which one of us has the reliquary?
You do.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. Now we're in serious trouble, mate.
Oh, boy. So this whole reliquary talk about how we still have it and everything, Ken, I'm going to need you to just go ahead and forget that happened.
Okay. but what do you two want to do? I mean, Harkos, you are kind of settled into your room, but Trevor, Harkos, is there anything that you'd want to do before getting your rest in?
I also would like to be in my room, and I suppose I will peek into my bag that has the reliquary in it.
Okay. There it sits. I've described it for you before, but it's like a canopic jar, an Egyptian organ jar, but instead of it being like one of the, you know, like the jackal head or whatever, that it's a dragon head that's on top of it. But it doesn't appear to have changed or anything. It still just sits there.
Sweet. So because it's creepy, I'll go ahead and tie the bag back up and leave it in the bag.
Okay.
I guess just go to sleep.
So are you both retiring for the evening then?
Yeah.
So we're supposed to be leaving mid-morning, right?
Yes. Roughly like between 10 and 11 the next morning.
I'm going to ask Gork if she can get me up at like 6 in the morning.
Oh, you wanted to set up a wake-up call? This is the first time that either of you have ever asked for it. I'd happily give you a knock at the door.
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I will make sure that you're up by six.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any taquitos or anything like that for tonight? Or are you?
All right, just a few.
Might be the last ones you get for a while if you're going to be on the road. So just
don't remind me.
So she makes you some. All right. Any other last little rounds of business?
Nope.
Okay. You eat, go to sleep. I would say you're both probably sleeping a little bit better. You've at least kind of settled things, especially from the previous night that left with some uncertainty. So you wake up in the morning feeling nice and refreshed. but you get a knock at six sharp that Gwork knocks at your door. Excuse me, Mr. Harkos, you wanted to be up at six and it is quite 6 o'clock.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I'll be out soon.
Do you need any housekeeping services? Are you?
Oh, most definitely not. No. I
could not serve you a little bit. I could serve you breakfast if you would like. You don't even have to come down. I could just bring it right into the room.
No, you don't need to come in here. That's okay. I'm sure I'll be down in just a few minutes. I have things to attend to.
Okay.
Nothing weird.
It seems very suspicious. I'm just telling you. Okay.
I'm very private. That's why I wanted the room with the lock. Remember that whole chestnut? Oh, the times we've had. If
you're awake, then it wouldn't be. Okay, I'll just go. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Good night, or good morning.
good morning.
Clip, clap, clip, clap, clip, clap.
Hey.
Nice. I stole it.
I appreciate it. So Harker's going to get himself ready. And pack up all of his shit. Not that he has much shit, but he's going to make sure he cleans out the room. He's going to tidy the nest as best he can, but there's no getting around the fact that didn't happen. It's probably going to be one of those where he starts to do it and he's like, I'm just going to have to let someone know. And he's going to give up and make sure he has all of his belongings together.
Okay. You grab your chargers and everything. You make sure that the alarm clock's plugged back in. The room is as empty and tidy as you can make it.
And then I'm going to go wake up Trevor.
Okay. Trevor, you get a knock at the door, like 6:15.
Oh, my. Hello?
Hello. It's me.
Oh, it's awful early, Harkos.
Harkos Pissarro. I'm an Alacocra monk from the Sanctuary of Hokkaido.
Yes,
in episode one.
No, it was a slight jest, you see, because it's the first thing I said to Trevor and Iron's Edge, and now it's the first thing I'm saying on our left. Trevor, it's time to wake up.
The door is unlocked. You can come on in.
Oh, you barbarian. open the door. Oh, you sleep naked, Trevor. Oh, dear God. I didn't know. Why do you have a comb over there? I don't understand. Oh, man.
Oh, gosh. It's like a nose. Look at it. It's just
no.
All right.
I can't process what's happening right now. It upsets me.
Oh, you should just be happy that I'm able to keep some of my comments to myself. I was about to have a little bit of Josh come through me there. Trevor, if you could, and Harkos is holding up a wing, if you might consider yourself.
I have clothes on.
Did you not just hear the cannon shit we just sprouted from our mouths. You sleep naked. You have a comb over in your nether regions. This is all real. Because it's hilarious. So it's real. Trevor, you should
shut up.
You should stop it. You should get your things together and we should go have some breakfast. We have a couple things to attend to and not much time before we leave town.
Yeah, you've got roughly, 4 hours before the caravan's gonna be ready to depart.
I'll meet you downstairs.
Sounds good.
Be just a moment.
Okay. Clip clop, clip clop, clip clop, clip clop.
Hey. Marcos, you head down. Clip clop, clip clop. You head down the stairs. Since you're going first, you see Phil is already awake and he's suited up and ready.
Jesus,
great! He's ravaging some bacon right now.
I'm gonna ravage some bacon. Bacon.
Oh, Arcos, I wasn't expecting you to be up so early. My sleep schedule is a little wonky right now because of the nightlife here.
I work. I could understand.
So I've been up for better part of 2 hours. So I'm suited up and ready to go.
Yes. Well, we'll be leaving in a few hours. Trevor and I just have a few things to take care of this morning that we're going to try and squeeze in and hope for the best, I suppose.
Okay, well, I'll be waiting here. I got my stuff ready, so said my goodbyes to everybody last night, so I think I'm ready.
Okay, yeah, feel free to wait here or I mean, it's not horribly important business, so I mean, if don't feel like you have to just sit around.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt if you were, if I was going to be an awkward third wheel on some of these conversations. So,
well, I mean, you're to use your term, going to be third wheeling with us for a while. So don't think that it's that big of an issue.
It's up to you. Should I stay or should I go now?
Oh, Jesus.
Well, you see, it's always tease, tease, tease. Well, you're more than willing to accompany us. I don't think Trevor will mind, right, Brad?
I'm not down there yet.
I didn't talk to Trevor, did I, Dick?
Harkos can't break the fourth wall.
You want to fucking bet? You
only test Jorik it? could break the fourth wall.
See, it's official now.
Little do you know, I have had secret talks with Keith and Jess, and the way of the torn thread is the thread of reality. So, I just give a little tug on that screen and or screen string, and boom. Right into right through the fourth wall. You're right. I don't break it. I weave my way through it.
I mean, why would you want to unravel my sweater? Just pull the thread as you walk away.
God.
I'll soon that be was, naked.
Oh, God. I love that song so much.
Anyway, I guess
feel free to come with us if you want to, Phil. That's fine.
Sure. I'll just tag along. I better get used to being with you guys on the regs. So, sorry. Did you have a comment?
I'm not there.
How long do you think it takes you to get ready, Trevor?
Yeah, a few minutes. I'd probably be making it down there by now.
Okay. So you walk in at the end of the awkward conversation. Are you regretting your decision yet? It's my plan all along. Just make whoever goes with you awkward. Trevor, you come down. You see Phil is suited up and ready to go. And you come in at the end of the conversation of him saying that he'll go ahead and tag along with you. So that way he's part of the group.
Oh, good morning, Phil.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Trevor.
Just Trevor is just fine.
Okay. I'm still new at this. So
still just a person.
I don't think I appreciate your attitude. Gwork will come up. Oh, gentlemen, is there anything that I can get for you for breakfast then?
As many rubber eggs and bacon as you can cook up.
Certainly. Very rare that somebody's that excited for my breakfasts. Harkos, anything for you?
Same.
Okay. Give me just a few and I'll bring that right out. And so she goes back and you hear sizzle, sizzle, pop, pop. A few minutes later, she brings out a big, big plate of bacon and a big thing of eggs to split between you.
Keep it coming.
That's a bit rambunctious. If you want to sit here and eat all day, that's your prerogative, I guess.
I don't know if I should say this, but is this not a little cannibalistic, Harkos? And that I know that they're not owl eggs, but I never mentioned it, but I wanted to ask before you left.
I'll be honest, I mainly just put the eggs on my plate to give the impression that I'm eating a normal breakfast, and every time there's been bacon and eggs, I've specifically said that Harkos has been devouring the bacon. I've been very particular about what Harkos has eaten.
Oh, okay. Well,
if you would pay attention to the episodes, Gwork, maybe you would know this.
I don't just sit here and watch what you eat. I just assumed if you got eggs that you ate eggs. Okay.
It's all a ruse. Also, I'm a bird person. If I want to eat an egg, I could. And he pops some eggs in his mouth. See, it's bleh, great.
Okay.
It's not weird.
I'll let you get down to business.
My saliva works best outside my mouth, thank you.
To defeat the kobolds. Never mind. I'll see you later. And she goes back about her business. I need to stop.
It's going so many places. None of them are good.
But you start to get to the end of the rubber eggs and bacon, and she comes back and asks if you want more.
No, that's all right. While Harkos is eating, he's going to quickly write like a goodbye letter to Cassie on the off chance that he doesn't see her before he leaves. Okay. That's one of the things I wanted to do in the early morning. So he's going to just quickly, like, nothing too crazy, not a Nick level of writing, but just write a goodbye note. So if he doesn't see her between now and departing, he can leave it with, like, Jorik to give to her family or whatever.
Okay. But it gets to be about, like, 6:30-ish, and you're all stuffed.
Right. So Trevor, the main reason I wanted us to get up so early is we've kind of forgotten a few things in all the excitement over the last few days.
Oh. What would that be?
Well, we have this, and he's going to tap the reliquary to ting ting. Not that it's metal, but he's going to tap the reliquary.
Yes, I took a peek at it last night. It seems to still be the same thing.
I just think we should maybe get an opinion on it before we completely take it somewhere else dangerous.
Can't be a bad idea, yeah.
I would like to check in on the elf we brought up from the mines. I've been so focused on Glenn and his family, I've completely forgotten about the elf. And also the dwarf, because Kin seemed pretty
upset that I didn't mention him, so we should make sure he's doing okay as well.
I don't know why you gotta bring me into it.
Because you brought him up, and I don't want to be a dickhead and like check on the elf and be like, all right, so you guys, and it rolls around to like 11, so like, so you guys leave Iron's Edge. Maybe for the last time. Never even checked on the dwarf, so who knows what happens next. And then you vindictively take something out on Iron's Edge. Not that you're that kind of guy. I would never assume. Because I know you, I don't have to assume.
All right. So what's your first stop then?
Barracks.
Okay.
Two birds, one stone.
Okay. Where at in the barracks?
Is he gonna go, if he's not out of bed, get Jorik's ass out of bed rudely?
Okay.
We don't have a ton of time. We can't be all coy and nice.
So you head to the barracks. About 6:45. And you get there. You head back to Jorik's office / sleeping quarters right next to it. The door's closed. I don't know if you want to knock or what you want to do, or.
Yeah, we'll knock.
Okay. Who goes there?
That's Harkos and Trevor and Phil.
Give me just a sec. And you hear it crash, crash, crash. You hear a click and he opens up the door and he's in his usual sleep attire, where with the poof ball on the end of the hat and like sleeping gown. Oh, hey guys. Sorry. It's been a long few days. I'm just trying to get some extra rest. So, what is it? It can't be too late in the day, is it?
Oh, no, it's not quite 7 yet.
That's kind of a dick move to just wake me up.
Well, Trevor and I are leaving today, and we may have let a couple things go to the wayside as we were paraded through a ceremony and whatnot. We kind of lost sight of some things. So we just wanted to...
You're going to put that on me?
Well, no, I'm just saying maybe with it being... I mean, you can sleep in tomorrow when you don't have... two cavalier knights leaving town. Maybe don't be such a dick, Jorik. Maybe just be...
feel like you're blaming a different power on you forgetting shit. So why don't I get dressed and then I can help you with whatever, I guess. Give me just like a little bit here.
And he closes the door and you hear him rustle around and
goes back to sleep. Son of a bitch.
it takes him about 10-15 minutes to get ready. He pops open the door. Hey guys, I guess, since I'm not in my sleep clothes anymore, what can I help you with?
He still has the poof ball hat on.
Jorik, no, it's okay. I like you better this way. We were just wondering how the dwarf from the mines, the one with the dagger, is how he's faring. Is he doing all right?
Oh, he was actually released. The apothecary did what he could, and he got better pretty quick. Sent him on his way. He's back at home now.
And the elf?
He's taking a little bit longer to recover. He's not even as quick as Clint is. So he actually hasn't regained consciousness yet.
Do you know him?
Yeah. He was one of the tradesmen in town. We kind of went back and forth quite a bit between here and some of the other small towns in the area. But once we closed everything down, he stayed here. We had him trained a little bit with the city guard, but, he wasn't that great. He got taken pretty early. One of the early raids, they got him and took him.
Mm.
You don't seem happy with the answer.
I don't like the spread. There's a smelly smell that smells smelly.
It's a trap.
I don't want to leave him here, but how do we validate taking an unconscious man out of this is not good. I don't like it anymore. He was a tradesman, right? Which makes me think that maybe he had some fishy business with trading the Dragon Rock and all that bullshit. And he just happened to get stuck during quarantine. And was like, well, I better dot my I's and cross my T's so no one suspicious as me. And like me.
So what? They've been upfront with you that the only people that were really involved were Elian, and like the contact from the other town. It's been alluded to that Ansagar kind of knew what was going on, but it was a pretty tight-knit little cluster of people that knew about it.
I don't know if I could trust you, Ken.
I know I've done this to myself. But
it's just, he can, I know we found him with the dagger or whatever, but just, hear me out. He got captured early on, right? So maybe if he wanted to be a follower of the dragon, he went down there and then to help out or whatever. He told Resegal, he was like, hey, I'll help out with your cause, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, things started to go kind of sideways for the kobolds. And he was like, well, I got to think of an easy way out of here. I know the dagger magic is crazy. Blah, impales himself and waits to hopefully be rescued. I mean, that's a pretty big leap and a jump to make for him if this is what happened. But it's also completely believable. Yep. Loving the silence. Awesome.
I'm with you on this.
It's whatever.
Again, I don't think, well, I'm not saying that's the situation that happened. I'm just saying that's the way my brain is going to rationalize it. Be like, technically this thing could have happened. So maybe there's a more beautiful abstract way that Ken put it together, but it's totally plausible. Again, Trevor and I do not have the time nor the ability to do anything about this, so we're gonna have to just fucking leave him. I mean, we can't convince people to take him with us, and we can't just go in and fucking stab him with no information. And can make, I mean, this is Nick being upset. Harkos probably wouldn't think too much of it. Like, a lot of people got taken. I mean, Glenn got taken early on. Glenn's not a bad guy, so it's just Nick who's not happy with this information. So honestly, Harkus could be like, oh, okay. That's good. There's one more thing. I wasn't actually going to necessarily ask for your assistance, just because I didn't want to. We didn't want to bother you with it. But being as those matters were cleared up pretty quickly, we were going to go see the priest about this. Trevor, do you want to show him the scary thing? And presumably Trevor will show him. But I was going to ask if the priest knew anything. We found it in the heart of the mines with the half dragon man. And we couldn't get our kobold hostage to tell us anything. He said it was too sacred and that he did not deserve to speak anything and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, well, that's new. I've never seen anything like that before. I would definitely take it to the priest at the very least.
We started to open it, but it,
yep.
It strange made, things
it made,
happened.
It made Trevor feel weird, so we stopped.
Ooh, that's unpleasant seeming.
Yes.
I would, yeah, definitely
take it to the priest and have him take a look. Maybe there's something that he can get off of it. That's the best that I can tell you. I have no idea. You calling it the scary thing is definitely accurate.
Yes, very much.
I'm gonna kind of get on. I got some stuff that we need to get taken care of here before the caravan can leave. Why don't you go and take that over there now? Just follow up with me before you leave, so that way I know if there's something I need to do on my end.
Yes, of course.
Hey. I'll see you when the caravan's taken off, or before if you seek me out. So, oh God, I can't believe you guys are leaving.
Oh, Jesus.
I'll see you guys soon.
And he kind of starts plopping off.
Onward to the priest.
You hear from way down the hall.
Oh God.
It's fucking rough for me too, man. I was thinking about this episode the other day, and I was like, man, it feels like it's been a long time, but it also doesn't feel like it was that long ago that I was scouring the internet for music to play while Trevor and I were outside the barracks for the first time. And there was music playing for which I realize is a Nick editing thing, but I was like, it feels like I was pouring over bardic sounding sounds to play while Jorik walked out on the stage, and I was trying to find big old clompy footsteps for this tiny little halfling to walk out, and now we're ditching him. So
it's funny because this is after episode stuff.
I thought that too.
Write down shit so we can talk about it.
One quick sidebar thing, because I don't know if Ken's seen it. Reroll followed us.
Ooh,
Brad just shared that. Reroll fucking just followed badass. Us on Twitter.
That's fucking cool.
That is cool. That's fucking super insane.
All right, so you head to the Lethandarian Temple, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you head to the temple. It's definitely a different place than last time you were here. But all that illusion stuff all got taken away, but all of the getting the altar set back up and all that, getting the murals and all that back into shape. And it's a much brighter, much happier looking place than the last time you were here. As you walk in, you can see the priest and a handful of acolytes are getting like the cloths on the tables and getting the altar all situated and that kind of thing. It looks like they're going to be performing some sort of service here relatively soon. But he greets you as you walk in. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Good hello. Morning. It is another of Lethander's bright, beautiful days ahead of us.
Yes.
I haven't gotten the chance to properly thank all of you, so for everything that you've done for not only me, but for the town itself and keeping Lethander's temple a sacred place.
I'm just doing what we came here for.
But there must be some reason for your visit. What can I help you with?
Oh, we have something we would like you to look at, preferably in private.
Yes, absolutely. My office is over on the side here. So you've been in this room before that you killed a couple of acolytes that were masquerading as kobolds, or kobolds that were masquerading as acolytes, rather. No, they were already dead. Never mind. They were already dead when you came in here, but you've been in this room. So he takes you in. This is where you found the amulet.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So he takes you into the side room, and it's set up differently than the last time you were here. Everything is back where it seems like it should be. So he's got a little desk that he sits behind, and he gestures for the two of you to take a seat.
I'm going to take the bag and set it on the desk. And then open it up.
Is there something you wish for me to see in there?
Yes, I'm opening the bag up, like taking the bag off of it.
Okay. So he looks at it and he kind of cocks his head. I'm going to have him do a check here. So he takes a look at it. And do you mind if I investigate it?
I would caution against opening it.
Trust me, my plan is not to open it. I just wish to look at the engravings and see if there's...
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's good.
A story to be told.
Yes, by all means.
He takes it and he starts kind of turning it over in his hands, and he kind of traces some of the etchings with his fingers as he's really diving down and looking into this thing. This is very old. This is old scroll work. This is old terrifying magic that you found this within the mine.
Yes.
Deep.
Very deep. Inside of a statue.
Ooh. It's a reliquary within a statue. It's something that really wanted to... somebody really wanted to be sealed away.
Indeed.
I can only give you my best guess. This is well before my time, and the chaos after... the fracturing. Not much is left from before that. So I can only venture my best guess from things that I've heard. Something like this would normally be used to contain physical parts of someone who is deceased. It's a heart or, you know, one of the vital organs that it would be kept in here. That this is different. This was, I believe, used to trap a soul.
Oh.
A very powerful soul based on the work.
So, in theory, if someone were to open that, does the soul get released? Or is it still trapped, but it can, you know, it's like opening the door a little bit.
That I can only venture my best guess, but I would say that if the containment is broken, then the soul is free to leave.
Oh, wonderful.
Did you open it?
Yes.
Oh dear.
We opened it down in the mine, and something tried to invade me.
No,
I guess. Ooh. It's a strange feeling, but it went away. So,
has anybody else come into contact with it? Anyone else felt changed after?
I don't believe so. I'm the only one that's held it this whole time.
Well, I don't know. If there was an attempt by whatever was in here to, as you say, invade you, I don't know where it could have gone. It's going, a soul needs a body. It can't exist without. So, and I can't imagine something this powerful would just want to linger behind and become a spirit. So
there were definitely plenty of open bodies in the mines. So, Nick, am I misremembering? We didn't open it, right?
Yeah, we just cracked it.
And did we even crack it? Like, I thought it was that Trevor took the dagger to it and started to kind of work at the seal. And while he started, he felt like something tried to invade him. And then he was like, you know what? Better not. Because maybe we broke just enough of the seal that counts as open. But I'm just trying to make sure in my head canon that I have the right idea.
I've slept since then.
Thanks, Brad.
It is my recollection that you cracked it. You did not open it. The priest is going based on what you're saying, not my recollection.
That's why I was asking, because I was going to say Harkos is going to re-clarify if we were on a similar page. He definitely could have gotten one of the bodies in the mine, but I would imagine had he escaped and done that, we would have either met him on the way back up. I don't know what fucking voice I was doing before now. I was thinking too much about the words I wanted to say, not the voice I was doing, and I just realized Harko sounded weird for a few seconds. Sorry, feather in my throat. I imagine we would have met him on the way either back up or sometime over the last couple of days. We would have noticed something. What Trevor is saying, we didn't open it. We started to unseal it, and then he felt an invasion, and so we ceased. We never fully opened the reliquary, though. We were interrogating a kobold that gave us nothing, so we started messing with things ourselves because we're just dumb adventurers. So
I sincerely hope that it was not fully opened. I with a crack, anything can get through a crack if it tries hard enough, but you possibly just a force of will it escaped for just a moment and hopefully still contained within this tiny prison.
Oh, I sure hope so.
So until we get any more information, or you get any more information, I would roll with the assumption that whatever entity is trapped within here remains trapped. I would think that a powerful old soul would not let its escape go unnoticed.
Agreed.
I unfortunately have given you all the information that I have, unless there's anything else that I could be of service with.
No, that's all we came here for.
Hey, well, go with the blessings of Lathander. You have done good work for him, and he will not soon forget it.
Thank you.
Go with Lathander's light, then, my friends. And thank you again.
Yeah, you as well.
You're welcome.
All right.
Where to next, Harkos?
Don't fucking put this on me.
You're the one that woke me up so early with things to do.
I've done them.
Your lead.
Honestly, I think Harkos would tell Trevor that unless he wants to do anything this morning, that we could totally just go chill back at the inn and wait for Solarkus and Puffles to get up, as long as they get up before we leave, and we can say our goodbyes to them because we didn't yesterday, which I meant to do before we went to sleep, but it was late anyway, and I forgot again because we haven't said goodbye to them, but I don't want to go wake them up just to say goodbye. But we could go wait for them to presumably get up and come down for breakfast before they have to go on mine duty again, if they're not already there.
Sounds like a wonderful plan. Phil, do you have anything?
I've been ready for a little longer than I'm proud of. So I am just along for the ride until the caravan leaves.
Phil was up before us, Trevor. He was highly motivated.
Impressive.
Phil, we're going to have to work on you sleeping in because Trevor and I, we do not, we don't want to just leave you sitting around from 3 a.m. till noon. But if you're waking up that early, that's what's going to happen. Oh, jeez.
I'm sure that I'll try. I just got off of the graveyard shifts. So give me a couple days. I'll get back to normal.
Well, should we return to the inn?
Yes, yes, that sounds like a great idea.
Maybe get day drunk. Deal with our sorrows. So yeah, I mean, I don't have... Harkos doesn't have anything else to do. Phil already did his shit, and Trevor didn't want to get up in the first place, so...
Okay, so you're going to go in and wait at the inn?
Yep.
Okay. So you head back to the inn. I would say at this point, you are... my brain's dying. Okay, so at this point, it's getting towards... After all the conversations, the back and forth, you are in the neighborhood of like 8-ish, I would say. So about a half an hour after you get back, you see Puffles and Selena. They're all equipped up and looks like they're getting ready to go. But they see you and they give you a wave, and
stand up and head over to them.
Yes.
Selena kind of hangs back for a second, but Puffles will go forward and, oh, my friends, it's good to see you. I was worried that we would be in the mines by the time that you were leaving, and was worried that we would miss you.
So we are very glad to not have missed you either.
I can't say that I'm not sad that you're leaving, because I am. But you're the best of us. Out of all the people that were here defending Iron's Edge, you did a better job than anybody.
If it wasn't for you all, it was not just us.
We never could have made it through without you all. I mean, getting into the heart of the mountain was entirely off the back of you being able to knock down the wall, and you and Selena showing up at the end of the fight was most helpful in the final drill battle with Melia. It was,
but for some reason, you're taking him.
Who said that?
Selena.
Well, what if something bad happens here? What if we didn't get the mine fully cleared? I mean, Jorik made solid points, and I wish we could take everyone, but we can't.
Well, what if something bad happens to you? What if something bad happens two towns over? There's very little that we can do to stop one thing or the other, but I just... Never mind. It's fine. I wish you well. And she kind of starts heading off with Marcus.
Well,
she's a little hurt, but I think that she'll be okay. I
wanted to take her with.
Well, any one of us would have happily gone with you, but I mean, what we're doing here is important. We have to protect these people. That's what we all signed up for. I'm not saying that I would not have jumped at the opportunity to leave and do more, but for now, I can make my mark here.
I mean, thank you for everything. I'm honored to have met you and had you fight by your side.
Oh. I am glad that our paths crossed, even if it was for just a short time. I am all the better for having worked with you and been in your company.
We hope to see you all again soon.
Well, I suspect it may be many paths before you come back here, but I would imagine that Iron's Edge will not need us forever, and maybe we'll see you somewhere out in that big wide world.
Perhaps. Will you be staying with Selena if you go elsewhere?
It depends on where our paths go, but I have a feeling that at some point they will diverge. But for now, we've been finding more people like Glenn and that elf that we found. There's more that were down there stuck. That's why we were sent in to make sure, but we found six so far. And
damn.
It seems that they were not hesitant to lay those kind of traps. So for now, getting to save these people's lives, that's important work, and it needs done. I'm sorry to say this, but I will not be able to see you off. We have to be going down there here very soon. We got to start our shift. So
happy we got to tell you both goodbye, even if she's angry with us.
No, as I said, I suspect that she will get over it. Just
give it time. I'm sure next time that your paths cross with her or me, that things will be different. So
I hope so.
Best of luck to both of you. You are all capable, and I'm sure that you will show this world the power of the B team. So he grabs some food from Gwork, and he gives you a nod, and he walks out the door.
I would say Trevor's definitely noticeably in less of a happy mood. Like, definitely Selena kicked him down pretty good there.
Oh, Harkos is visibly angered. Like, I deliberately remained silent after she spoke, because Harkos did not have anything nice to say, so he chose to say nothing at all.
All right. Is there anyone else, or are we fast forwarding to leaving time?
Fast forwarding.
I was going to say, if we're not fast forwarding, Trevor's probably going to go sit in his room.
Well, let's just go ahead and fast forward. So a few more hours pass, or a couple more hours pass. Gwork checks with you one more time, make sure that you don't need any food for the road. I'll happily provide a doggy bag if you would like.
Yeah.
So she loads
Harkos,
up.
Harkos wants.
She loads up this really cute little like to go bag, has like a cartoonish drawing of her face on it. Eat it, Gwork's is underneath it. So she gives you some food for the road, and she says it. I am glad that you all came here, and I am sorry to see you leave, but it was an honor to serve both of you, or all three of you, since Phil is here as well. Ha ha. But best of luck on the road. It'll be sad to see you go.
It is sad to go. You're leaving many new friends behind.
All right. So you leave, and you can see, and you've been hearing it for a while, that there is, it's not a huge caravan. There's about five wagons that are, there's a couple that are horse-drawn, and then there's a couple others that are oxen-driven. That are all set up. You can see that they're loaded for bear with iron. And they are pretty much all set to go. The last preparations are being made. You can see that there's a pretty large assembly of folks that are here to see everybody off. This is the first shipment of anything that has gone out pretty much in 6 months, of anything significant, at least. Pretty much anything that's gone out has been little bits that they were able to spare, but they've been keeping a hold of as much as possible. So for a shipment this size, these folks know that they've got work coming back to them. So they're excited to see these folks go, and to get back to work. So most of the town is out here to kind of see you off. So the you head up to the caravan, and there's a elven gentleman that comes up that you haven't really seen before, that you don't recognize him. But he comes up and he says, "You're the last two that we're waiting for."
Three.
I did not see him behind you. You're a little taller than him. Gonna have to get used to saying three, because it's normally the two plus, you know, whatever NPCs. We have to get used to three.
Do they already have Ansigar?
Ansigar is loaded in the backmost wagon. He's pretty much in with the cargo. Like, he is not comfortable. But he's all manacled up and chained to the side of the wagon.
Awesome.
But you see Jorik and Melia are there, and Jorik is checking on his bindings to make sure that he's all secure and ready for the trip.
I'm curious. I want to look around at all the people that are there. And I know Puffles and Selena were supposed to go into the mines, but mm-hmm. do we see either of them again?
I'm not going to make you make a roll. No, they're in the mine right now.
Okay. I was just curious if.
No, they're doing sweeps to make sure that there's not anybody else that's been hiding out. And incidentally, they've been finding these folks that have been supposedly killed by these daggers, but have been sustained as traps. So that's kind of been their main focus, is trying to find these people. That was kind of the road that I was trying to lead you down when you were told earlier that they were in the mine.
Yeah.
But so I just had to force feed expositional information to you. So since you didn't take the bait, motherfuckers. Ooh, I don't want to go back into the mine.
No, thank you. It's fucking horrible down there.
But the caravan head, he brings over three horses for you. For the two of you plus Phil. Says it's a long walk, so you probably want to make sure that you're on horseback.
Yes, yes.
Well, of course.
So you get all saddled up and hop up on top of the horses. Jorik and Melee come over. Jorik gets on his tippy toes and raises a hand to shake everybody's hand as you're getting ready to leave.
So before I get on the horse, if he comes to shake my hand, I'm going to shake his hand, but like pick him up and give him a hug.
Okay. That's actually really kind of demeaning. I know I'm small. You don't have to make it more. Okay. That's fine. I'm going to miss you guys.
I'm going to miss you also.
Oh, all right.
So Harkos, he comes over to you and offers his hand as well.
I didn't put him down.
I kind of want to say bye to Harkos and Phil too.
Yes, yes. I'm sorry. Hey. Set him down.
Thank you.
So Harkos, he walks over to you and extends his hand.
Please don't pick me up.
Okay. I didn't intend to. I was waiting for my awkwardness to go away from what Trevor just did. And so Harkos will reach out and shake his hand. It's going to be like one of those, like one of the double clasps.
Yeah, yeah.
Like over the top.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the cool old style handshake.
Yeah.
So he goes over to Phil and he says his goodbye. I'm not going to talk to myself. So
what?
Fuck you.
We need to know the conversation, Ken.
Melia follows behind, that she extends a grateful hand to you as well. Trevor, it's been an honor to both be, elevated to this position with your help and to fight alongside you.
It has been an honor for us also.
And she shakes your hand and she goes down to, she skips past you, Harkos, and she goes and she shakes Phil's hand and says, "Now you best take care of these two." And he goes, "Yeah, that's the point. That's the whole thing. But thanks for taking me in." And then she turns over to you, Harkos, and she walks up and she extends her hand out.
Yes. I'm going to reach out to shake her hand.
Okay, she takes your hand and she pulls you in and she says, if only you would have been able to stay a little longer. And
oh god,
she lets you go and takes her hand back and gives you a sly smile.
Sup?
Sup. And she has a big grin on her face, and you can see that she's kind of fighting back some tears, but she says, the caravan's about to be leaving, so we'll let you get settled in and fall into line. We've got Ansigar, the coward champion, settled in the back, so if you'd want to stay close to him to make sure that he does not try any funny business.
Yes, of course.
But send word of anything that you find out, and please take care of yourselves.
You do the same.
And she kind of turns, like, right as she can't fight back the tears anymore, and she and Jorik walk off to get with the rest of the assembly. But you get up on your horses.
Ah, shit! As Jorik goes to walk away with her, I'm gonna run up to Jorik real quick and be like, could you give this to Glenn's family? And I'm gonna give him my note for Cassie.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything for you, my friend.
Thank you.
Not anything. Anything but like a handful of things, but yeah, this definitely falls into the things that I would do.
I do not want to talk about your handful. I'm going back to my horse now.
Yep, it's best. It's best we don't talk about it. Yep.
Agreed.
So he and Melia then walk off. And you get up on horseback and you start leaving town. Harkos, go ahead and roll me up a perception check.
Oh shit! Okay. I got an 18.
So you get up on horseback and you guys start leaving. And very close to the gate, you catch something out of the corner of your eye. That there's a little girl trying to push her way through the crowd to get to you.
I'm gonna tell the caravan, because stop for a moment, please. I'm gonna hop down and go push my way through also. Hey. Well, probably not push, but you know.
You start running towards it, everybody looks really confused and starts getting out of your way. And it's Cassie parting the Red Sea, and she pushes her way through another couple people, and she just lowercase I lines to you. Literally, because she hops into you.
I brace myself this time. I ain't going down.
Okay.
I plant my feet firmly.
Okay. Well, we'll say she doesn't tackle you with all of her little fury.
I got a couple days sleep, full HP, fully planted tootsies. I'm solid.
All right. So she runs up to you. She jumps. You catch her. You do that cute little movie spin thing with her.
Yeah.
And she just hugs onto you tight. She's, I was so worried I wouldn't get to see you before you left.
I was also worried. I left a note with Jorik for you just in case, but I also knew that should I not get to say a proper goodbye, it was just one more reason to come back and make sure we visit again in the future, but
so she looks at you really sternly, and she says, you better come back.
Well, of course. I was just probably going to be more inclined to visit sooner than I should, but I will most definitely come back, Miss Cassie. I need to make sure that you're taking care of your old man.
Well, she hugs on to you tightly. You can hear the caravan leader up at the front. He's, come on, We must be going.
Oh, I'll be right there.
You hear some like slaps as rain start getting whoosh, and
yeah,
stuff starts moving again.
Well, I've got to go now, Cassie. There are big things that Trevor and I have to take care of, but I promise I will be sure to come back and see you.
She lets herself down, and she stands there watching as you start heading back to your horse, and you saddle back up, and you start moving with the line, and then you hear from behind, "I love you, Mr. Harkos." And that is where we will call it for tonight.
I just need everybody to know that strong men also cry.
Fuck! All right. Well, thank you all very much for joining us in the last part of the I guess we could call this the Iron's Edge saga or something. I don't know. We hadn't really decided to break things up like that, but you know, this is the end of this part of the story of Riven, and we move on to other things. But if you are enjoying not only the Iron's Edge part of this, but Riven, the Shattered Continent in general, we would humbly beg you on our knees to please give us some support. We have a couple of different ways that you can, if you want to check us out over on Patreon. We are good little warlocks, and we offer up sacrifices to our benevolent patrons, depending on the tier that you choose. Or you could be as simple as buying us a coffee if you check us out on ko-fi.com. So, Brad, where can these folks get in touch with us?
You can subscribe to us on our website at rickgeekpodcast.com to keep up with all things rolling in the geek, or on any of your favorite ear bacon stations. Also, we're very active on Twitter. If you want to talk to three warlocks who shamelessly offer themselves up just for cookies, feel free to tag us at Roll in the Geek. That's RollinTheGeek.
Thank you very much, Brad. Nick, in honor of your new companion, this week you are the Sound Purple Dragon Knight Fighter. Through a combination of skill and bravery and inspiration, you support all of us through the audio maze of nonsense that we could possibly get ourselves into. And on the other side of that fight, leave us just a little bit less bruised and bloody. Can you please support us something fun to go out on?
I'm going to do my best. I'm pretty torn and tattered myself at this point. We'll keep her short and sweet. So it's a hootie hoo from Nick and Harkos as we barely survived the goodbyes of episode 35. And I mean, the B team is now down to the B3, and they're gonna get into the real mix in episode 36. This week's song I specifically wrote assuming we would be leaving this episode, because we didn't have much left to do. So this is Nick's prediction of what is to come. So we'll get right into the dirty here. Trevor, behave. That's what I say to make things better.
and watch what you say. Don't want Jesus. To offend people while we're traveling just as fast as we can. Holding on to one another's hands.
Oh, God.
Trying to stay safe all day and night. Then we glance around, our friends are gone, and we get knocked to the ground. And then we say, I think we are boned now. Are boned now. It doesn't seem to be. Shut up. There's only you and me and Phil now. I think we are bone now, are bone now. The beating of our asses is the only sound. We must find a way to make it through this thing somehow. Cause this is our life for the foreseeable future, and we're traveling just as fast as we can. Helping one another to make plans. Trying to keep positive all day and night, but then we stumble and are ambushed, and then you will hear us say, I think we've been boned now. It's definitely only us and no aid is around. I think we are boned now. I hope this team doesn't get put down.
Oh, shit. That was one of the fastest ones that I've caught on to so far. It was like as soon as you went, I was like, oh no.
Fucking love me some Tiffany.
That's awesome.
That was beautiful.
I'm sure the B3 will be fine.
All right.
Even without Selena.
Stopping the recording.
Stopping.
Flubba, flubba dee bop, flubba lubba dee bop, bloop bop, flubba doo boop, boop ba doo boop bop, ba da da ba doo ba da ba da da ba.
Please, your royal vinage, I had no idea that this would rile the people so. No, please, no more. I did not know that it would have such an effect.
I'm out of angry sounds.
I love you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.